Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Le French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny BT. And the Six Nations is upon us, so we've got a special guest coming on to look ahead to the start of France's title defence against Italy this weekend too. We will talk a little bit about the top 14 later on, but all the focus is going to be on the Six Nations this week. So we'll have a chat about the defending champions first and then get our guest on to chat about Italy too. And Johnny, you have been back home for about half an hour since covering the top 14. So have you got a Six Nations hat on or what?
I'm pumped, mate. I won't be at the French game this weekend. I'm at Twickenham for the Calcutta Cup, but just excited. I think everyone is. It's the best possible rugby. It's the best tournament, the most enjoyable. Looking forward to having a beer and enjoying the game this weekend in London. Some cracking games rugby coming up and an enjoyable couple of months.
And from a France perspective, we know what they achieved last year, but a few injuries heading into this tournament. Tough fixture list, three away games, including Ireland and England. So it'd be a hell of an achievement, wouldn't it, if they went back to back and won another Grand Slam?
Yeah, I think that a lot's been made of the injuries, and that the injuries aren't to the biggest, you know, most important players. There's a couple of little niggles here and there, but ultimately they've still got the core cohort together with a game plan that's settled, a team that's settled, a coaching group that's settled. I think it would be an even bigger achievement given the fixture list that you mentioned. It'd be even more impressive than last year if they were to do it. Again, England and Ireland away is very, very hard. Starting with two away games is also very hard. But I think they'll back themselves. They'll know that they're capable of winning every single game. Systems are in place. They've had good prep. Again, just down the road from me and Cap Breton. And yeah, I think weird old cliche, but they will just look to win the first game away from home against Italy and see where it takes them.
And as a professional player or coach, this probably doesn't matter at all. But given the injuries and the fixture list, the fact that they aren't favourites with the bookies, Ireland are favourites, even though we know what France achieved last year, does that help in any way in terms of just taking the pressure off slightly, or does it not matter at all?
Do you know, it's kind of weird in that I think they're so happy to be part of something that's exceptional that I'm not really sure they're looking at any of that. They're part of a squad that's won 20 odd games on the bounce. They've won a Grand Slam. They're all battling for a chance to be part of a World Cup at home as well. So there's all these things going on in the background that I think individually they'll be so determined to do well and to perform and to win each game they go into. I don't really think they'll be thinking too far ahead. And that being said, there's only a couple of games for them in Paris at home. So like everything will go into each week. How do we prep? How do we prepare to beat another international side and try and knock them over? And that's what they've done really well over the past 24 months. And that's what they'll continue doing.
And nobody has won back-to-back Grand Slams since the late 90s when France did it. I think England did it in the early 90s. And apart from that, that's it since like the 20s or something, in the dark old ages. It doesn't happen very often. So what are the chances?
You know, genuinely, it's a Grand Slam, it's a three-way shootout. You've got England, Ireland and France that are probably capable. The others are a little off the boil and odds stacked against them. But I mean, really, a fair, decent chance. I mean, they're capable of going to Dublin. They've shown before they went over and again to Twickenham, they're more than capable. We don't know what England's going to rock up either. We don't know how they're going to settle under Borthwick. So it's a really strange tournament because it is the pinnacle, but it goes so fast. There's so much buzz around it. The training is so intense. No matter what squad you're part of, it really is just a focus. And even for the players, you can't think too far ahead. you want to fight for your selection and get on the field. Like even minor little details like that. Within the squad, there are battles of who's going to start. We don't know what's the squad, the 23, going to look like. We don't know. There was 48 players, some released back to clubs. So we have a fair idea. But even the little battles within this French squad, apart from your Antoine Dupont's and your points of exception, we still don't know who's going to start. So there's all these little things to play for. Everyone is desperate to be involved, to take part, and then to drive their team on success.
And if you had to nail your colours to the mast, are they winning a Grand Slam? Are they winning a title with no Grand Slam? Or do you think it might be a bridge too far this time?
I think given the fixtures, I think Grand Slam is going to be extremely difficult. But like I said, Ireland favourites, bookies favourites, again, probably my favourites. But France aren't far behind by any stretch. It's purely because of the way the fixtures are, home and away, the way they are. But like I said, France have shown they can go away from home and they can knock these teams over. So huge test matches coming up. Really looking forward to following it, seeing how it unfolds, being in stadium for the experience. But I would say Ireland and France probably two best placed to, you know, potentially a Grand Slam, but I'd say more likely a tournament win without a Grand Slam this year.
And where is Scotland finishing, Johnny?
Next question, mate. I genuinely believe Scotland are better placed than they ever have been. But so much will come down to this weekend, a Calcutta Cup to kick off, an absolutely huge game. I think we've won 5 of the last 6, but you just don't know what's going to happen. But if Scotland go out and win this weekend, obviously they're going to win the Grand Slam as well. That's what's going to happen to them. but again, difficult fixtures away in England, away in Paris. They've taken heart from going away and winning in those places during COVID, different places to go with a crowd in-house. And the buzz that is and everything goes with it. But I think if Scotland can win this weekend, if they can knock over England, retain the Calcutta Cup, who knows what can happen. But it's a long old tournament. What we've seen with Scotland in the past few seasons certainly is the potential they knock over one biggie and then there's an easy game lost. And you're just hoping for a bit of consistency performance, keeping it tight against Ireland as well. We've always struggled physically with the middle of the field. And Ireland look to be in a league of their own at the minute. But as I said, Tim, not looking too far ahead. One game at a time for Scotland, Twickenham this weekend. We'll see what happens and fingers crossed.
You didn't need to answer that question. I could have clipped up your answer from last year or the year before. Expectations already there, isn't it? Confidence is high.
Hey, eternally the optimist. That's what you have to be. Scottish sport, whether you're following football, rugby, it doesn't matter. Ever the optimist and the roller coaster that comes with it of emotions soon to be seen this weekend coming to a TV screen near you at Twickenham.
Absolutely. You mentioned selection moving back to France. Before, yeah. There are a few key areas. You said the injuries aren't necessarily to the most important players. Obviously, I'm assuming you talk about Antoine Dupont, Romain Entamac.
Yeah.
But there's Jonathan Donty, who played a big role last year. So the midfield is an interesting area. How do you think France are going to set up in the midfield?
I mean, whenever there's been a bit of alternation, you've had Moefana, who's come straight in. So and again, he's been ridiculously good the start of the year for Bordeaux. He's physical, he's abrasive, he steps, he fends. They've got a little bit of an embarrassment of riches in a few positions. And to have somebody like Moefana come in doesn't leave too big a hole, a Jonathan Donty-sized hole, him taking a little bit longer to recover, but he's really dangerous. So to have him link up with Fiku, although Joe Donty has been exceptional and amazing to watch over the past 12 months, Moefana's a very, very good backup. And then I think, you know, the forward pack essentially picks itself as well. A few boys coming back from injury and picking up game time over the past few weeks. By Marchand, Antonio, front row, I'd say is fairly settled. Thibaut Flamand, after the injuries to Walkie, who there were doubts over him as well with his form after moving to Racing. Paul Valemse back in. Fabian's a big fan of him at tight headlock. And then the back row, which picks itself, Jolange, Greg, and Charles Olivon, which is fairly evident. Halfbacks, Dupont and Tamac, Moefana, Fiku. The only real puzzle for me is the back three after Moefana slots in centre. So you've got 4 boys really in my mind to pick from. You've got Damien Penaud, who will start on one wing. Then there's 3 boys, there's Jaminé, Ramos, and Gabin Villiers, who came back through his injury and got through some amazing work against Pau at the weekend. And he's been retained as well. So it's, do you stick Villiers on another wing as an out-and-out winger, and then it's a shootout at fullback? Is it Jaminé or Ramos? And both guys have been, they've been in great form. So I'd say that's the big decision. It's whether you chuck Gabin Villiers back in after limited game time, although you know what you're going to get from him, the attitude, the physicality that he brings. We're not a big bloke. Defensively so sound as well. So I think if you're going to bring Villiers back in, it's a shootout between Jaminé and Ramos. And if you're not going to bring Gabin back in, you maybe shunt Melvin Jaminé onto the wing and let Thomas Ramos stick at fullback.
Interesting. two fullbacks potentially.
Yeah, potentially, but guys that are phenomenal in the air, and I think there'll be a fair amount of tests this weekend from Italy in an aerial duel, and they are both safe as houses. So what you may be losing a little bit of flair and defensive nous, you get a bit of security in there.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Let's get our guest on now then and turn our attention to Italy. And we can have a chat with legendary former Italy winger, Mirko Bergamasco. How you doing?
Hi, guys. It's good. Thank you.
We'll come to the game at the weekend in a minute, but you're especially well placed to talk about this game because am I right in saying you're coaching in France at the moment?
Yeah, I coach in the fifth division, in the federal one. It's not easy, but we try to work for the objective. So last week, yesterday, we played, but we lose at home. But it's not impossible to arrive on the object that we have and go in the next level.
And how are you enjoying coaching generally? Because last time we bumped into each other was at Water Rugby in Toulouse and a few drinks were had. But you were then, you just finished with Angoulême, now in Nantes with Stade Nantais.
I used 1 year for improve my skills, and I did a diploma of mental coach. And in the same time, I find this project of Stade Nantais in Nantes, where I'm a sport director and head coach of the first team. And was for me, it's a good thing because it's something new. And I said before to find Nantes that if I had to do the low level of French championship, I want the responsibility. And to be a sport director is a responsibility in the club. So I accept that because the president and the general manager that I met before to decide to come here present me something strong with the financial that go with the project of the club. So it's great to build every weekend something, and it's great to find the good key for present the best rugby that you can.
And what's the ultimate ambition? You just started your coaching journey. Is it to take over from Kieran Crowley in a few years' time if he moves on?
I talk with him a little bit. Maybe one day I would like. I talk a little bit, and I think they find a good key. He find a good key for a national team. I saw the job that he did when he was in Treviso, and the result was good. With his mentality and with the other coach that is Italian coach and is an Italian culture, because I think he don't arrive in Italy and say, I want that Italy play like New Zealand. He say, I want that Italian guy play with like Italian guys. And the good thing is that he find coach, Italian coach can help him to put in the field the project that he want for national team, but within Italian culture. And I think is Latin culture is not easy. I think Anglo-Saxon culture is you say something, you have to do this for win the game, and you do this. Latin culture, Latin mentality is not the same. The repetition, player don't like the repetition. So you have to do the same things in different exercise, you know? And if you say a Latin guy, you say for to be champion, you have to do only this. You say, no, it's not good. You have to find another solution because I'm not happy if you do only one thing. So it's good. It's not easy because not all the foreign coach that come in Italy do the same. And the other things is that the player don't play only in Italy. Some years ago, I think until 3 years ago, the older guy that play for national team play in Italy. We don't have the structure, we don't have all the key in Italy for prepare the guys for the Six Nation. And we passed 7 years where the main part of the player on the 23 that went in the field, I think that 21 or 22 played in Italy for Zibel Treviso. It's not good because your choice is too close. And if you leave the guys to go in France, in England, or in other championship, you have more place in Italy team, like Treviso and Zibel. And the guys, the young guys under 20, that play very well in the Six Nations, that show that they want to play in the high level, but they don't today have the place, but 7 years ago, 5 years ago, didn't find. Today, we are in dynamic that is good. And with players that play in the foreign, like Garbisi, like Capozzo, like the guys that do very good performance in French championship, and then when they come in national team, they give all the new things that we learn in the new culture, but it's not new culture because it's Latin culture, but in a new team.
And it almost is very similar to another era. Well, I say another era like it was 100 years ago, but if we go back 10 years, it was you, your brother, it was Sergio Parisse, it was Castro Giovanni. It was the exact same, and it was a massive positive influence. When we look forward to today, and you have Garbisi, Capozzo, the performances we saw, Ange's performance yesterday for Toulouse, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
The levels have been pushed, winning away from home against Wales. We now look forward to this championship and to this weekend, crucially, because it's a massive game. Do you believe this crop of players, with the blend and the culture, everything you've just mentioned, do you think they can beat France this weekend?
I think with this France, today is very difficult to win. But the good things of the Italy team today is a young team, and they play like a team. Before the last 10 years, we put one, two guys in the middle of a project, and the project was around that. Italy had to play like in November against Samoa, against Australia. After, if France is stronger than Italy, the result, you can know today. We are not far, but the problem that we have believed the Italy team, the guys, Italian guys, have to believe. And against France, is Latin against Latin culture against Latin culture. You know that when you put the pressure all the 80 minutes, the team that have this pressure in the second half leave mentally, don't arrive to stay concentrated in 80 minutes. So for Italy team, it's important to do a match of 80 minutes. The important thing is that they play together.
And with your coaching hat on, if you're the Italy coach this weekend, tactically, how do you play against France? And do you see any weaknesses at all in the France side?
I think you have to hold the ball all the time and try to when they have the ball, every time that they go in the 40 meter, have to score 3 points or 5 points, or I don't know, I drop something like that. But I think if they are right, every time they go in the other side, they are right to score. I think Italy have a chance to win this game. If they are right every time that they pass the 50-meter score, I think for France will be tough.
And is playing against France the most enjoyable game for Italians? Like we mentioned your history and the fact that you played in the top 14, Latin spirit, the cultural similarities, you share a border. In the Six Nations tournament, is France the game that you look forward to the most, or is it another nation?
I think is Ireland is very very strong team. I think the two team today that can be very very strong, and I think they prepare very very well this World Cup, next World Cup, is Ireland and France.
That's a great answer, Johnny. I was going to joke and say, surely it's Scotland the biggest game, the Wooden Sweden decider. But no, the two best teams, Ireland and France, they're the biggest games.
It makes sense. It makes sense. You've had the most joy against Scotland, but it makes sense aiming for the big dogs. I'm not going to lie.
And Johnny mentioned your generation, and there were some special players in that Italy side back then. You had some very good results. Then Italy obviously went through a period where 36 straight defeats in the Six Nations. And we saw the emotion in Cardiff last March. Give us a sense of how important that was to Italian rugby after all those defeats to just get the monkey off the back.
I think 7-8 years ago, I stopped to watch Italy. It was not the main things that they did during the Six Nations, because I think we lose a little bit this passion, this art that we put in the field when I played. Something changed because the boys is young, yes. But when I watch the game of this national team, I watch something strong, but the guys play together, and I think they play for the country, but they play for themselves, for the team. And when we watch a team that play for the player that play for the team, is mean that maybe the staff find a good kid. Or inside of the team, you have some leaders that help all the team to stay together, you know?
Johnny, I was going to say, because of the success of the under-20s in recent years, maybe a core of them have sort of grown up with each other, and a bit like Mirko's generation, they are playing for each other. There is that spirit and that almost brotherhood that you guys had back in the day.
Well, look, they're also developing a winning culture. I've worked at a few of the under-20s games for Italy. They're a serious team. Like, they've knocked over England, they knocked over Scotland, they've beaten everybody. So the next generation that's coming through is phenomenal. It makes me sad in a way that you were forced to switch off because you didn't like what you were seeing. But now that you see youth coming through, you see the best players playing in foreign top-tier championships, you've now got three home games against France, Ireland and Wales. What do you think are the realistic aims for Italy in this tournament? How far do you think they can go?
Good question. Sometimes it's difficult for me to answer to that because I'm not inside. I prefer to come in France to understand better how France work, because the generation that they have behind the French team is incredible, and all the job that they did the last 6-7 years is great, and today you see the result of this job, and I wanted to see exactly what happened, why France arrived to have this team, and why they can use four guys for every place in the team. How can do this, and it's great to understand why we did this. Italy team, it can put in difficulty all the team. I think that the main things to do in this Six Nations to arrive to find another time the respect of the other team. It means that when you play against Italy, you have to put your best team if you want to win this game. And the last few years, I think the team know that Italy was in not a good moment, and so it decided to put a new player or some player that don't play too much. And after the test of November, I think this mentality changed, and I think the best team will go to play against against Italy, and will be tough for Italy team. But I think on the three game at home, you can win maybe two. I think Welsh, you can. France, I say, be attention, because if they are right to do the best game, can be interesting. Ireland, mentally, Ireland, we are not problem to play against Ireland. So if we are right to be free, we can put in difficulty. But today, I don't know if you can win against Ireland. It's easier thing against France because we have the same mentality. Ireland is tough physically, is tough with the skills. So I think two game on three.
I like it. Positivity. Love it.
It's just like being Scottish. It's the exact same.
You mentioned leadership before. It's interesting because a lot of people are very impressed by Michele Lameroi. And you obviously played under Sergio Parisse, know him incredibly well, Stade Francais as well as with Italy. Do you see elements of Sergio in Michele, and what do you make of him as a captain?
I think he's different. He's different. Sergio is a very, very good player. But sometimes he's focused on himself. And I think that Lameroi can be focusing himself, but is very careful about the other. And it's great because when they did a good tackle or the guys do something, he low a lot, but is something that do because I think he's very passionate, and he'll arrive to use his passion for the team, for the other guys, for the guys he's close to him. And I think it's the big difference with Sergio. Maybe he has less skills than Sergio, but I think it's easier to put Lameroi in the team than I think Sergio today. And the good thing is that the vibe of Lameroi is the leitmotif of the team today. And it's a great difference between the last few years. And Jeff Capozzo today take a big part of this leadership in the team. You have the two brothers. Cannon, the number eight, is very young, but during November, they show that it can be the future number eight of Italy team. So it's great because he's young, and we have a young player that push behind and want to take the place, and it's great for national team.
And you mentioned Ange Capozzo again. He won World Breakthrough Player of the Year last year. Just how good do you think he can go on to be?
I think he's a player that Italy find for a long time. It's a good thing because it's the profile that we didn't have before. And we needed this speed, we needed this change of direction, these steps. We needed of this for improve this power that we didn't know, we didn't have before. It's very easy, like a guy, it's very easy. It's very simple. But when he enter in the field, is a powerful, is something that can change a game alone. They did before in the Pro de Deux when he played in Grenoble. It was great because sometimes alone they take the ball, they step two times, they did 50 meters, they get the ball, they score a try, or another player score a try, and they went and they won a lot of a game like that, like in Welsh last year. Same, he take a ball, he decide to do something, take the space, and they win the game. Is a profile that imagination I think we didn't have. It's great because he's French, but he have, I think, grandfather is Italian, and his heart, when I met him the first time, he said me, my heart is Italian, I want to play for Italy team. And it was 4 years ago. I said, you are sure? Because did you see the result of Italy? Inside is not very good. Federation is not very good. You are, no, I know that, but I want to play for Italy.
Very interesting, Johnny. A lot of people probably don't know that about Ange.
It's amazing. And he's got two or three different nationalities in his family as well. So he had the choice. But like Mirko said, he was absolutely ridiculous for Grenoble. The fact that he's been picked up by Toulouse, a team that already have, you know, Thomas Ramos, other boys that can play fullback and wing, they're stacked with talent. They've taken what we all thought was a massive gamble taking him on. But as Mirko said, the X factor that he brings now, the game that he went through yesterday, the try he scored yesterday, we'll talk about it later. It'll be the meter moment of the week that we'll chat about later. But the X factor he brings, the point of difference, is something that Italy maybe have been lacking for a few years in their backline. And now they have a young guy who's going to lead that backline and inject something that they didn't have maybe for the past 5, 6, 7 years, a real point of difference. And he scares opposition defenses. So the fact that he's come in, nailed his colour to the mast, and even during a poor time where they weren't going well, said, this is the side I want to play for, and committed, is exceptional. They're really lucky to have him.
And we should ask you, Megan, before we move on, because we mentioned him before, there is always chat, because he's still playing in the top 14, about Sergio. You know him so well. Do you think there's any chance we might see him back playing for Italy again at the World Cup, or have Italy moved on?
No, I don't think so. Today you have a put a dynamic inside that. If you put inside a guy like Sergio, you change the dynamic. If you find a good key, why do you have to change that? If he comes back to play for national team, what he can change? I don't know. You have a young player. This young player got to play a World Cup. You prepare these guys for the next World Cup, for the 2027. It's not good to say for Sergio, I understand, but it's a long time that don't play for this team. It's not easy for the other watch a guy that don't play for 3 years, in 3 years don't play a game. We have to stay with the same guys. They grow in 4 years. They have 4 years more. And maybe in 4 years, we can be something positive. But we have another World Cup in 2023. We have a tough pool, but we have France another time. We have New Zealand. Like every new World Cup, we have New Zealand. So in Namibia, Uruguay is not easy. It's not easy. Uruguay, we see that. It's not a very easy team to play.
And you know him as a man. Do you think Sergio knows that? Because it's probably just media talk, but we hear it all the time, don't we, about how Sergio wants to come back. There's this, and is it just the media talking? Do you think Sergio's had chats behind the scenes? Do you think he knows?
I don't know. Maybe Sergio had talked with Curly. I don't know. Sure that if you have the possibility to play a World Cup, you don't say no. No, you try to do all the things that you can for play a World Cup. If I'm in coach position today, I work a dynamic with this team and continue with this team. I don't change. Maybe we have some injury that we have to. Maybe okay, we can try. But if you don't need, I think we have to stay the same.
No, we'll look forward to the Parise Bergamasco coaching team leading at the 2027 World Cup. That's what we'll look forward to next. That'll be cool.
You have a good staff today is in Treviso, is Bortolami, is Masi, is Ongaro. You know, you have an Italian coach that have a good result with the team today. Maybe if they was the staff of Crowley before, maybe it's a good thing that for the next World Cup, you have this team. Huh?
When you look back now, the time that you had with your brother, with Sergio, with all of your mates in the top 14, like you played for me in almost the golden era of French top 14 rugby. Max Guazzini, you know, animals on the pitch, there's lions coming across, there's a circus on the field. Like, take us back to what that was like as a youngster, as an Italian, living in Paris, all of the parties, all of the everything that went with it. What was that like as an experience, but also as a time in professional rugby?
Was great. I had the possibility to arrive to 20 when I was 20 years old. I arrived in Stade Français. When you played with Stade Français in this moment, I arrived in 2003. In the first 15, you had 15 international players. I was to play with my brother, Dominguez. All the players that I can say you in this moment was international. So play for this team was great. Max did a great job. It's amazing job, because only him can be couldn't be what he did, and nobody can do the same things. When you're training with the main part of international guys of different culture, you can improve your skills. You can. And these 7 years in Stade Français, I learned a lot. And that means the possibility to do what I did after. But the great thing is to play with these guys every weekend and show the passion, the heart, and they want to win.
And Mirko is a smart man. You asked him about parties, though. He glossed over that. Mate. He's got high ambitions, John. He's not going to talk about Max's parties on here.
I was going to say, so the performance angle, we don't really care about. What we want to know is how much fun you had in Paris, because that's it. A 20-year-old arriving, and Max loved the glitter, loved having a good time off the field. You must have had an amazing time together.
No, it's the good thing about Max is... the main part, the principality of for him was the team, was the player. Now all the thing he did was for the player, and it was amazing because he did all the thing he did for the player, and he was a showman. So all the thing that. The 80,000 people in the Stade de France, a pink jersey, the things like that, flower on the jersey, is Max. Is Italian, is half Italian, half French, and the pink comes from Italy, Giro d'Italia, cycling, Gazzetta dello Sport is pink, Palermo is pink, Juventus has pink shirt, so pink was easy. It's simple in Italy. Easy. So he put that in a macho culture because rugby was macho, you know. And he arrived to show that. He showed to the world that rugby was everybody, that everybody can to come to watch rugby and you can enjoy. And he showed that don't care about the jersey that you shirt. If you play with your heart, with your passion, and with if you want to win the weekend, you can. It was great. It was very great. For me, it was the best moment in my career.
And while we're on parties, just to finish off, I know you've got to go and do more important business than this coaching. One name who brings a smile to everyone's face when they talk about him, Martin Castrogiovanni. Do you have any stories for us, a favorite Castrogiovanni story?
He was... under the field was crazy. It was always a joke with I don't know if I remember. I think they put a head of something in the bag of the Ungaro, I think, and the Ungaro was blocking in the after the game and was blocking with the neck, and they put that and when the Ungaro opened the thing, if you watch this, he said it was crazy. What happened? And he was able to do that every day in the stage with national team, but was in the field was always very focused in something in his job. So it was great, but it was like Sturge, you know, focusing himself. Sometimes he lost the collective.
Great days those for Italy, and fingers crossed, some good times are coming back for Italian rugby. We will watch their games with interest this year, and good luck with your coaching aspirations in France as well, Mirko.
We'll see you at Scotland, Italy, mate. I'll see you in Edinburgh.
Cheers. Ciao, ciao.
Great to have Mirko on, Johnny. We didn't get on to much about his career, but hell of a player back in the day. You must have played against him as well.
Loads. And that was always bargain, bottom basement, mate. It was Scotland against Italy. That was the one that everyone was desperate to win so that you weren't picking up sixth, you were picking up fifth. But look, great bloke, part of an amazing generation. Again, I look back as that as a golden generation of, you know, he was part of like Dominguez, Parise, Castro with his brother. And he talked about the passion that they brought, but they won some big games as well. You forget, like he booted over 17 points when they beat France in Rome in 2011. They had big wins, but like Scotland, they just don't have the player pool to consistently do it. But great bloke. Great to learn a little bit more about his job in Nantes, which they've got a big project building there. They're trying to build something serious. So he'll be part of that for the next 2-3 seasons. Who knows where he'll end up further down the line. But great bloke, great player, and really cool to have him on.
And also, he probably wasn't on his own, but interesting what he said about the fact that he stopped watching Italy for 6 or 7 years. Obviously, the Federation, in his eyes, got things badly wrong. It wasn't just the fact they lost 36 straight games in the Six Nations. He felt that there was something badly wrong there. And obviously in recent times, not just the fact that they won in Cardiff, but he's started watching them again because he sees that same kind of
the passion
spirit that they have.
The passion. And that's it. I think that's what you, the identity of, you know, you're spread around Europe and you're absolutely scrapping for every inch and you come back and that passion's always been displayed by that group of players he was part of. And then I guess it's not easy to say, but you know, when a federation plows money in and everyone's centrally contracted and it seems like an easier life, you can see how the perception might be that for players of his generation, the next generation had it maybe too easy and weren't delivering or weren't showing the same passion. But look, certainly the way or the track they're on now, they look better. A massive win away to Wales. A couple, like you mentioned, a couple of key young players that they can build around with positive attitude, positive mindset, and a positive game plan. And yeah, it's good that he's come back. He's gone full circle. He's back now watching his team. He's proud again, because that's what you want.
And I think we might have inadvertently done it already, but it's about time we got your meter moment of the week, Johnny. It's topical, eh?
Oh, it was amazing. It's doing the rounds on social media. We'll say that much. If I was picking on Saturday, it would have been the game of the round, which was Racing and their comeback against La Rochelle. What a game of rugby that was, by the way. If you catch the highlights of that, there's some real quality from both sides on a fast track in Paris. But it's the Italian man of the moment, the angel-faced Ange Capuozzo, is Finnish to give his side a bonus point win at home. And when everyone was away prepping for Six Nations camp, Ange Capuozzo, who creates overlap and a 3-on-2 on the short side and then works off the ball, sprints the whole way over the field, to finish in the far right-hand corner with what can only be described as a Superman finish, NFL touchdown style in the end zone. What a finish, but what a game he had in general as well. Just his ability to beat people, gain 2-3 extra meters, the injection of pace. He got 2 last night, and he was outrageously good. So watch out, France, this weekend. But the meter moment for this weekend was Ange Capuozzo. So his finishing, his speed, absolutely freakish. And looking forward to seeing loads more of him with both Italy and Toulouse.
Very appropriate. That was Johnny's Meter Moment of the Week. And Meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 20 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can now get 10% off any full-price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod10 at checkout. That's FrenchPod10, and you'll get 10% off any full-price item at meter.com. You mentioned the game on Saturday, Johnny.
Yep.
The best game of the round. Generally speaking, 7 home wins. Normal service redeemed in the top 14.
Exactly. I mean, some of them were fun, like Bayonne. 4 tries against Brive, 37-9. The only side in the top 40 to still be unbeaten at home. But yeah, generally, normal service resumed in that it's gone back to the home win. Tick box. Lyon beat Clermont as well. It was Christophe Furios' first game in charge. I think that's them 6, 7, or 8 games now without a win. So he's starting to get his head around the size of the task. But Racing, the game I just mentioned there, that was absolutely... If you can watch that, the full highlights are on YouTube. You can go on Canal Plus and find the full highlights, the extended highlights. I think it's like an hour long. But that was an absolute cracker. Finn Russell knocking over the penalty from the halfway line to win the game. But yeah, normal service resumed.
And speaking of that game you mentioned in Racing and a certain Finn Russell, a good warm-up for the Calcutta Cup? Is he starting?
Hey, of course he's starting. Are you joking me?
You never know with Gregor.
Of course. No, it's gone from, again, the way it's worded in the media of, you know, needing to work on his form and not quite there in the autumn tests. In the lead up, now he's the best 10 on the planet. So you can tell.
His form was better in the autumn, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, I have no idea. He's one of the best on the planet. Let's just be honest. He's definitely the best in Scotland, but he's one of the best in the world. So if we're going to win this weekend at Twickenham, obviously better having him there. Looking forward to watching that one with a beer in my hand at Twickers. But yeah, absolutely. As good a warm up as you can get. He was on fire at the weekend, and he'll need to be again at Twickenham if they're going to win that one.
And another line relevant to the game that you did on Sunday night, we mentioned the meter moment of the week, but also Jack Willis in Toulouse at the moment. His brother Tom is at Bordeaux. We know he's off to Saracens next season. A certain Billy Boone of Holland may be on his way to the top 14 as well. Who knows? But Jack Willis apparently could be off to Bordeaux next season to fill his brother's boots.
That's what's been talked about in French press. They're just saying they want to bolster their squad. They've got their man in Damien Penault, who's been their headline signing. But Jack Willis has been, I mean, last night he was monstrous again. And he's known for his work defensively, but he seems to be getting better ball in hand as well, breaking tackles, going forward, offloading. And it looks like Laurent Marty is ready to bring out the checkbook and try and get him to stay in France, which, you know, wouldn't have been his thought when he came over. He's probably looking for a move back to England to be involved with Steve Borthwick's now England side. But he has been so good that it looks like Yannick Brew is ready to make him a big offer to move up to Bordeaux. So interesting choice for Jack as well. What does he want to do? Do you want to stay in France? Do you want to head back to the Prem and try and pick up some more caps? So it's great watching him over here. We'll be lucky to have him. So hopefully he decides Bordeaux, but some big decisions for him over the next few weeks.
Thanks, Johnny. A big thanks to Mirko for joining us. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can. Check us out on Rugby Pass as well as on YouTube. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, Johnny.
Cheers, mate.